Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Ayin Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will commence from the third line from the top of Ayin Hey, Amud Aleph. The Gemara quotes a Dibur Maslo from the Mishnah, in which we see a Machloikis Rebbe and the Chachomim in with regard to the oil application or addition to a Minchas Machmas or Marcheshes. There is a question as to when the oil is added. Is it done after the loaves are baked and then they are broken up into pieces, at which point oil is added? Or is it added prior to that when it's still in its flour stage? When we're dealing with the Machbas HaMarcheshes, it may be worth noting that which we discussed in our previous year, that there are three stages of oil application. There is one, the first stage, which is Matan Kli. That's not the subject of our discussion. That's the initial placing of oil into the vessel before the flour is put in at all. After that first stage, the flour is then added, and it's at this point that this machlokis arises. Are the loaves first baked and then broken up into pieces called psisa, at which point oil is added and mixed in with those broken pieces, or prior to the baking, simply after the solus, the flour is added, then this second stage of oil application. So we read the Gemara, third line from the top, Chalois Boilon Divrei Rebbe. According to Rebbe, this second stage of oil application is after the loaves of the Marcheshes or Machvas are already baked. The Chachomim say, no, the second stage of oil application is before the baking. We now have a Tanaic source, and we have also at the outside margin the Nosei Mivneh heading in our Gemara marking system, which features the Shas Ozer as its cornerstone. We attempt to provide topic headings and structural notes when necessary. In this case, our topic heading, the Nosei, is combined with the structural note, which features explanations of the geometric forms in one note. Here we've written, Machlokes Rebbe v'Chachomim b'shlav sheni shel nesinas Hashemen b'marcheshes u'v'machbas. As we mentioned before, we'll see a machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachomim regarding the shlav sheni, the second stage of oil application in the case of the marcheshes and machbas minchas. We have a diamond that will appear in this source featuring the expression Ketzad Oise. We will see the Shita of Rebbe featured, who mentions Chalos Boilulon, and we will see the Shita of the Rabbonon featured. We also will see a double underline highlighting the expressions Soilas and Chalos. According to the Chachomim soilas boilulon. V'rak achar kach oife upoiseis. According to the Chachomim, the second stage of oil is applied in the flour state, and it's mixed up, and then afterwards it's baked and broken into pieces. L'rebi chalois boilulon. The koidem oife upoiseis. First, there is a baking, and then the breaking into pieces. The achakach noisein shemen ubolulon, and then there is a this second stage of oil application takes place after it's broken into the baked pieces are broken into the baked goods are broken into pieces, and then the oil is added and mixed. So turning to the source, Tanur Rabbanan, the next section you can see appears in a frame, as do all Tanaic quotes that appear in our Gemara marking system. We frame them off in order to set them apart from the rest of the Gemara. Soles blula, the Pasuk says, Melamed shinivleles soles. This teaches that the mixing takes place in the flour stage. Rebbe Oimer Chalois Boilulon. Rebbe says the mixing takes place in the at the baked stage. Shinemar Chalois Boilulon. Blulois. Chalois Blulos is in the Pasuk. Omru lo valo lachme toida. Regarding the breads of the Toda sacrifice, Nemar Bohen Chalois. The word chalos appears, ve'i efsher levolulon kishein chalos ela soiles. This expression, e efsher, will be discussed later in the Gemara, so for the time being, we'll simply say that, well, with regard to the lachme toida, it's impossible to see them mixed in the baked stage. Ela soiles, the only way to imagine in the case of the chalos, in the case of the korban toida, the mixing, would have to be at the soiles stage. Keitzad oise. So what we're doing right now is we're featuring the shita of the Chachomim, who mentioned that if the mixing of the oil, the second stage of oil mixing takes place, or oil addition takes place at the soles stage, how is it done? So the Gemara now, the Brisa goes over the three stages of oil application as far as the Rabbanon are concerned. So stage one, noisin shemen bekli, kedem la'asiyosan. It might be worth noting, so that one doesn't get confused with the myriad of details, if you just compare this stage one with that which will appear later under Rebbe's approach, there's also a little one, you can skim down a few lines right after the next diamond. It's the same thing, no sin shemen b'kli kodem la'asiyos. So as far as stage one is concerned, there is no machlokes. Of course, you can see how easy it is to navigate with the markings, just spotting the different numbers and geometric forms, and you can see how the one under Rebbe's name, which is the second Ketzar Oise, is the same as the one we just read. Continuing, stage two, v'noisin shemen oleha. Here the shemen is placed on it, that means on the soles, u'boidula, v'losha, v'oifa, u'poisisa. After the second stage of oil is applied to the flour, it's mixed, kneaded, baked, uposasa, and then broken into pieces. You will notice there were some additional markings here, and we will shortly try to demonstrate the value in the dotted underlines and the dashed underlines. However, before we discuss that, stage three, the noisin olel shemen. Then after the baking took place and the pieces were broken, there's a third oil application, the koimates, and the handful is taken. Rebbe Oimer Chalois Boilulon Shinemar. Rebbe says that the second stage of oil application is at the chalos level, after it's been baked. Shinemar Chalois Bululois Bashemen, as the Pasuk indicates, that they are chalos that are mixed together with the oil. Ketzad oise. So how is it done according to Rebbe? So stage one, noisin shemen bekli kodem lasiyosa. Vinosna. Vinosna is the soles. Vilosha. Vioife. Upoisisa. You'll notice we have these same dotted and dashed underlines, which we'll discuss again a little bit later. V'noisein olel shemen uboilola. After it's been baked, there is now, only now does the second stage of oil application take place. V'choizer v'noisein olel shemen v'koimates. And the third stage is similar to the third stage we saw above, where after the afia and the psisa has taken place, there is a third oil application. That's, as you can see, the source ends over there. What we would like to do before going any further, to just take note of the differences between the Tanakama and Rebbe. The first opinion, and here we want to focus, on the appearance of the dotted underlines. Under the first opinion, we saw after stage 2, you saw then the bolula. Compare bolula it with the stage 2 of the Tanakhama with where bolula takes place under Rebbe. And you'll notice that that takes place after stage 2 of oil application and after the afiyah as well. Whereas in the first opinion, you have bolula, then losha va'oifa, and poisisa, all taking place after the second oil application. Under Rebbe, you'll see, you have the, if you note where the second oil application is, before that already took place oife upoisisa. So with this, you can contrast the two, whereas the Tanakhama has the afia and the psisa after the second stage of oil application. Rebbe has the afia, the baking, and the breaking, and the psisa, the breaking into pieces, before the second oil application. Continuing in the Gemara, the Rabbanan had mentioned to Rebbe, how can you say that the second stage of oil application takes place after it's baked, simply because it says chalos belulos? The expression chalos appears in the case of the lachme toda as well, and there e efsher. It's the Rabbanan that said v'efshel bolulon when they're chalos. So the Gemara is asking now, of course we have a little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. If you skim up, you'll see where this arrow appears previously, and it's at the point when this e'efshel phrase appeared. So the Gemara is asking, e'efshel de ko'amri le Rabbanan le Rebbe mayhi. What was the intention of the Rabbanan when they said, with regard to the lachme toida, that it's impossible to imagine an oil mixing in the baked state? Omar Rebbe Shmuel bar Rav Yitzhak. Revius shemen he. The amount of oil that is brought in the case of the lachme toda, there is a total of a half lug. The half lug is split between the different kinds of loaves. If we glance in the Rashi Ksav Yad, the third line in that section, there's a little star there that will help you find where this is coming from, where to look, that is. Rashi there says, Revius Shemen Hi, the Amri Beperik Shtei Midois, that's the name of a perik in this Masechta, Mevi Chatzi Lug Shemen, you bring a half lug of oil, lug is a liquid measure, v'chotzeu, and split it, chetzio l'chalois, rekikin, v'chetzio l'revucha, u'balach meitoido, have shloisha minim shalmatzah. In the lach meitoido, there are three loaves that are non-chometz, chalos, rekikin, u'revucha. Kinamrin l'kamon, v'chatzi halug halocha l'moshe misinai, v'chalos u'rekikin, Shiva Esroinim Pochos Shlishave. That's 6 2/3 Esroinim. Le'achar afiyosan yaveshois hain. After the loaves have been baked, they're dry. Uboilois shemen yoiser machmas ha'ur. And they will absorb a lot of oil based on the fact that they have been subject to the heat of the baking. Urvius shemen lo safki luhu. For the chalos, we are going to be using a revius. That's a revius of the oil, which is a measure, and that is a relatively small amount of oil when dealing with this number of loaves. There are 10 chalos loaves. So the Gemara asks, and this is what the Rabbanan's objection to Rebbe was, if you're going to say the oil is applied after they're baked, After all, you have here a revius of shemen. Heich mischalekes lekamo chalos. How can that small amount of oil be divided amongst all of these loaves? Hachalos tunois belilo urekikin meshicha. The Mishnah mentioned that the chalos type loaf requires the mixing of oil in, and the rekikin type loaf requires a smearing of oil on it. Before going further, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading that accompanies this section of Gemara in the outside margin. You see a double underline with a design between them, and this features 2 points. Chalos blulos velo rekikin. The chalos are mixed with the oil at the final stage and not the rekikin. And the second point that will be emphasized is rekikin meshuchin velo chalos. The rekikin are smeared with the oil and not the chalos. Tonu Rabbanan. Chalos blulos velo rekikin blulos. Blulin. Sheyachol, I would have thought, v'alu din hu. Logic would have indicated otherwise. V'ha'uma chalos she'enon te'unos meshicha tunos belila. Chalos that don't require smearing do require mixing. Rekikin she'te'unin meshicha eno din she'te'unin belila. Rekikin that do require meshicha, then all the more so should require mixing. After all, we saw something that doesn't require smearing does get the mixing done. So something that has the smearing certainly should have the mixing. Talmud Lomar, chalos blulos, and therefore the Pasuk says, chalos blulos velo rekikin blulin, and not the rekikin. The rekikin at the third stage of oil application are not mixed with the oil. It's simply the oil is smeared on them. Likewise, or to contrast, rekikin meshuchin velo chalos meshuchais. The rekikin type loaves are smeared, and the chalos type loaves are not. She yochol, without this limud, I would have thought valo dinhu. Logic would have indicated otherwise. Uma rekikin she'enon tunin belila tunin meshicha. The rekikin type loaves that don't require the mixing do require smearing. Chalos she'tunois belila. Chalos that do require the mixing together with oil, enodin shetuunis meshicha, certainly should require a smearing. Talmud lomar rekikin meshuchin. Therefore, the pasuk says that the rekikin are meshuchin b'shemen, the lo chalos meshuchos. My Talmuda. Here, the Gemara asks, who says that when the pasuk says chalos blulos, it's there to the exclusion of rekikin? It could be. Couldn't one have said that the pasuk says chalos blulos, and that's simply a revelation by the chalos, and the same thing would apply to the rekikin? And likewise, when it says that the rekikin are smeared with the oil, it's not to the exclusion of chalos. It's something done to the rekikin, and the same thing is done to the chalos. So how does this source know that that's not the case? My Talmuda. Amar Rava. Rava answers, Lo lishtamit kra. The pasuk should have not avoided, at least on one occasion, the lichtov and write chalos meshuchos rekikin blulin. There should be at least once. The pasuk would have mentioned that option. But in all the different references to the chalos and the rekikin, you never find chalos meshuchos. You always find chalos blulos and rekikin meshuchin, but never the opposite. So since the pasuk never mentions that as an option, it's understood that that simply doesn't exist. And therefore it's chalos blulos only, to the exclusion of the rekikin. And the rekikin or meshuchin are smeared to the exclusion of the chalos. Ketzad moshon kemin ki v'shar nechal. The Mishnah had mentioned that the meshicha is done, and it's done in the form of a what's called ki, and the rest of the oil is eaten by the kohanim. My kamin ki. What is meant by that expression? Omar Rav Kahana, kamin ki yevoni. Ki is a Greek letter. So the shape that that letter ki had is the shape of the smearing that's done on the rikikin. Tana Rabbanan. Before going on, we glance in the outside margin. We notice a nosei, a topic heading. Machlokes tanoim bema osim im yisras hashemen achrei shemoishchin es rikikin. We'll see a machlokes tanoim as to what is done with the balance of the oil after the rikikin are smeared. Tana Rabbanan mincha habo mechzu chalos umechzu rikikin, a meal offering that can come as half chalos and half rikikin. We might point out that this is the case with regard to a minchas maifa, but only according to Rabbi Shimon. So, according to Rabbi Shimon, where such a possibility exists, mevi lug shemen, one brings this lug, which is a measure of oil, a specific measure, the chotseu, and splits it in half, chetzu lechalos v'chetzu lerikikin, half to be used with the chalos and half with the rikikin. Chalos, the chalos bolon, rikikin moshchon, the chalos are mixed with the oil, and the rikikin are smeared with the oil. Umoshech es rokik al pnei kulo, the smearing is over the entire surface of it. The ushaar hashemen machziro lechalos, the balance of the, after you've smeared, the rikikin is then used with the chalos. Rav Shimon Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Shimon Omer Moishchan Kamin Ki. He has a seeming different version. The Meshicha is done on the surface and with the form of the letter Ki. Ushaar Hashemen Ne'echalo Kohanim. The balance of the oil is given to the Kohanim. Notice with the markings how it's easy to see the differences. The first opinion, the Shaar HaShemen, was dashed underlined with a diagonal dashed underline, and likewise Shaar HaShemen with regard to the second opinion. And you can see immediately after the first Shaar HaShemen citation, it was Machzir Lechalos, and after the second Shaar HaShemen citation, it says Ne'echalo Kohanim. Tanyo idoch. We have another Tanaic source. Rikikin haboyim b'fnei atzmon, mevi lug shemen. Rikikin that one brings on their own. In other words, one dedicates a mincha of complete, a minchas maifa, a complete rikikin. Not like we said before. In other words, this is another option of how you can bring the minchas maifa, that special, that type of mincha, that type of meal offering known as a minchas maifa. Another option is to bring it completely rikikin. In other words, all 10 loaves that constitute the mincha will be rikikin type loaves. So rikikin haboyim b'fnei atzmon mevi lug shemen umoshchon v'chozer umoshchon ad shiichle kol shemen shebalug. According to the first opinion, you use the oil and smear it and continue smearing it until all of the oil is used up. This, of course, is different than the Tanakama in the first source, meaning in the first source was talking about a different circumstance. There were rikikin and chalos. So after you finished the smearing in the first and the previous source, you had the option of using the balance for the chalos. Here, there is no, it's pure rikikin. Therefore, all of the smearing is done on the rikikin until the oil is used up. But one thing is very clear, the Tanakama has no concept of the oil, the balance of the oil going to the Kohanim. This is in contrast with Rav Shimon Yudit Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon, who is the same name as we saw in the previous source. Moishchon Kemin Ki, there is a smearing on the rikikin in the form of the letter, the Greek letter ki, ushar hashemen ne'echal kohanim. And here is the same ruling that he had before, that the balance of oil after the Meshicha kamin ki goes to the kohanim. Kol ha-menochos hanases b'kli te'unos psisa. All menochos that are processed in a vessel require the breaking of it into pieces in anticipation of the kmitza that will be taken later. The Mute Mai, what is being excluded from Psisa? This Mishnah says that all the menachas that are done in a vessel require Psisa. So which kind of menachas don't require psisa? Omer Rav Papa, limute shtei halechem velechem haponim. These two kind of meal offerings, the shtei halechem are the two loaves brought on Shavuos together with the kipsi atzeres, and the lechem haponim are the loaves that were renewed from week to week that sat in the heichal on the shulchan. Those two types of mincha, the shtei alechem and the lechem aponim, do not require being loaves there are not broken into pieces. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source. We also have a topic heading in the outside margin. Makoros. We have sources. One, mematim shnei alechem lechem aponim mipsisa, that will demonstrate or exclude the how the shtei alechem and lechem aponim are not included in psisa. And number two, mematim chalos urikikin shalminchas maifa mi yitzika. That's a second source that in which we'll see that the chalos and rikikin of a minchas maifa don't have the yitzika oil application that we can call the third stage of oil application that we had discussed in previous shiurim. Tonu Rabbanan. So we should note also before going on that we'll be citing from Vayikra Perek Beis Pasuk Vav, which is a pasuk that appears after the Minchas Machvas, and it's noted we have this pasuk recorded on the inside margin. It says Pasois Oisa Pitim V'Yotzakto Le'al Shemen Mincha Hi. So it's worth noting that this comes on the heels of the pasuk that dealt with the Machvas. The pasuk says Pasois Oisa Pitim Mincha. The rabbis call hamenachos lepsisa. This comes to include most of the meal offerings for the stage or process called psisa, the breaking of it into pieces. Yochol shenimar be'af shtei halechem v'lechem aponim. Once I'm including, and you say to include all menachos, should I include those as well? Talmud lomar osa. Osa is it means. And it's a limitation expression, so something is being excluded, and we've just said the shtei lechem lechem aponim are excluded. The pasuk also mentions v'yotzakta shemen mincha l'rabbis kol hamenachos liyitzika, that most menachos have yitzika done to them. Yitzika is the pouring of the oil at the third stage. Yochol shenimar ba'af minchas maife, is minchas maife also to experience yitzika? Talmud lomar oleha shemen. The word oleha on it, and that's an exclusionary expression. Oitzias achalos velo oitzias urikikin. Since we mentioned that the maife, the minchas maife, is excluded through the word oleha shemen, the question is: okay, maybe I'm going to exclude the chalos. The minchas maife is something that is made of two kinds of loaves, namely. It could be chalos loaves, it could be rikikin type loaves. So we've excluded the minchas maifa from yitzika. Does that mean that I exclude the chalos and not the lo otzias or rikikin? Talmud lomar, he. We have another limitation expression. So as far as we're concerned, we've got in this posuk, oleho and he. Two exclusionary expressions, which are both directed at the Minchas Maifa. The Gemara asks, "My Tamuda, Emo Lahotzi Minchas Kohanim." When, how do you know that the pasuk is coming to exclude the Minchas Maifa? Maybe it's coming to exclude from Yitzika the Mincha brought by a Kohen. We've already seen in previous sukkis that Kohen Minchas are in fact treated differently in other with regard to other aspects. So maybe with regard to Yitzika, the meal offering that's being excluded is the Minchas Kohanim. Omar Rabba. Rabba answers, how does this source know that the Pasuk is excluding the Minchas Maifa specifically from Yitzika? Ezu Dovar Shitzach Shnei Miutim. Which kind of Mincha would require two limitation expressions or exclusionary words, namely olea and he? Hevi omer zu minchas maifa. That of course is the minchas maifa. When we say of course, we mean to say that the minchas maifa is made of, or the Torah gives you two options. chalos and or rikikin. Of course, it could be chalos and rikikin if you hold like Rabbi Shimon. But whatever the case is, in the context of the Minchas Maif, you find two kinds of loaves. So it's only reasonable to say that when you have a posuk limiting and mentioning two exclusionary words, it must be referring to exclusion, that kind of mincha that has two aspects or two possibilities. Before continuing in the Gemara with the new Mishnah, we glance at the outside margin. We have a nosei, a topic heading. The topic we can say sum up in one word, psisa, the breaking of a mincha into pieces. We'll mention Minchas Yisrael and mention Minchas Kohanim, meal offerings brought by non-Kohanim and those brought by Kohanim. We'll see a machlokas Tanakana Rabbi Shimon im Minchas Kohanim boi psisa klal me'achar she'en bo kemitza. There will be a machlokas Tanoim surrounding the issue of a Minchas Kohanim. Does it require being broken into pieces at all? After all, we know that there's no kemitza taken from a Minchas Kohanim. Of course, when we say there's no kemitza done from a Minchas Kohanim, that is itself a machlokas Tanoim. Looking at the Mishnah, Minchas Yisrael, Kofel echod l'shnayim shnayim l'arbo u'mavdiyo. Kofel is to fold it. We're talking about baked loaves. And one should imagine that they were, relatively speaking, flat type of loaves. So they were able to be folded. So the Minchas Yisrael, the meal offering brought by a Yisrael, meaning a non-Kohen, was folded into two, and then that folded again into two more, so it's folded into quarters, and then mafdil, and then split apart. Minchas Kohanim, kofel echod l'shnayim, l'shnayim l'arba'a, v'eino mafdil. Minchas Kohanim, there was a folding to mekayim mitzvahs psisa, but no mafdil, meaning no splitting apart, because it was put entirely into the fire. Minchas Kohen Moshiach, the mincha brought by the Kohen Gadol, lo hoya mekaplo, there was no folding whatsoever. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Minchas Kohen Moshiach, ein bohen psisa, there is no need for folding it. Nei she'ein bohen kemitza, there is no kemitza done to them. V'chol she'ein bohen kemitza, ein bohen psisa. Any type of mincha that doesn't have a handful removed from it doesn't require this folding into pieces. The kulon poisison kezesim. When you do, in fact, do the psisa, you're supposed to fold it and keep folding it until you get to folds that whose size amounts to a kezias. Tonu Rabbonan. Posois. The Posuk says, actually, Posos asa pisim, but we're darshaning it now word by section by section. Posos, yochol ishnayim. Does the Torah expect me to fold the mincha into just two parts? Tamalomar pitim. E pitim, yochol yasena piurim. When the Posuk says, Posois asa pitim, does that mean make it into crumbs? Tamalomar osa. Osa lipsisim, velo psisin lipsisim. That means the word osa is a limitation expression, which means that the original whole loaf is made into pieces, but not that you make the pieces into pieces. And with that, we're trying to say not to make it into crumbs. Ha ketzad, how is this accomplished? Minchas Yisrael kofel echod l'shnayim l'shnayim l'arbo mafdiyo. Minchas Kohanim v'Kohen Moshiach hoya mekaplo, and we saw above in the Mishnah, not mavdil, doesn't split it. V'ho anan t'nan, but have we not learned with regard to the Kohen Moshiach lo hoya mekaplo, there was no folding whatsoever? So how come in the source just before this, where we dashed underline Kohen Moshiach, it says, yes, mekaplo, it was folded. Omar Rabo eino mekaplo la'arbo, so the source that says lohoya mekaplo means it wasn't folded into four parts, the meal offering brought by the Kohen Gadol. However, this, it was folded into two, and that's what the source just before this, where we dashed on the Koy Moshiach, it says Hoya Makapla, means it was folded into halves, but not further. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Minchas Kehani, Minchas Koy Moshiach, Ein Boim Sisa. This section of Gemara is very interesting in how it's found here in Menachos, but it's a section of Gemara that happens to be repeated in Maseches Brachos as well, that deals with the Birchas HaMoitzi Lechem Min Haaretz, and specifically the making of that bracha when you have small pieces of bread, pieces that are a kezias. We'll see variations of that a little bit later as we go on in the Gemara. Omar of Yosef, Hai Chavitza. Chavitza is the name of some kind of dish that has added to it pieces of bread, where bread is broken pieces of bread that are broken into small units are added to this particular tafshil. So the chavitza, we say, I is bo purin kezayis, if the pieces that are in this dish are an olive-sized quantity, mevorchinon oleo hamotzi lechem in arts, then the brocha that one would make over that would be brichas hamotzi. I less bo purin kezayis, if there are no pieces that are a kezayis in size, but rather they're all less than a kezayis, mevorchinon oleo borei minei mezonos, then that's the appropriate brocha for such an arrangement, such a thing. Omar Rav Yosef, Mino Amin Allah. From where do I know that the cutoff point or the standard is set by pieces being a kezayis in size? That a kezayis size piece will warrant the recitation of the Birchas Hamotzi. Less than that, no. So from where do I know this, says Rav Yosef? Tesanya, we have the following source. Hoya Oymed Umakriv Menachos Bishalayim. A Kohen who had not offered a meal offering that year, he now finds himself offering a Korban Mincha for the first time that year. Omer Borul Shechiyonu Vikimonu, which we know as the Birchas Shechiyonu. Notlon Lochlon, the Kohen then took it to eat. He wants to eat his the Mincha that he processed. Omer Hamotzi Lechem in Oretz. He says that bracha Baruch Ato Hashem Elokim Machalom Hamotzi Lechem in Oretz. Utnan, and we know we have this teaching with regard to Menachos V'Kulon Psisin Kezesim. We saw that at the end of our Mishnah. So that when you're dealing with a mincha, you're dealing with something whose pieces are a kezias. So we have in this source the recitation of Hamotzi Lechem in Oretz over pieces that were a kezias in size. As we go on in the Gemara, we now encounter a new geometric form. This is the triangle, and under our Mivneh heading, we've indicated that this is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the questions and answers that follow. So with the point facing up, that represents questions. When the point appears flipped over facing down, that represents an attempt to answer. So Abaye raises a question. Omar le Abaye, uletano de Beir Rabbi Yishmoel, di Omar mefarchon ad shemachziron lesiltan. There's another school of thought, another Tanaic school of thought, that says that you, with regard to the breaking of the mincha, you actually break it down into a crumb form. That's you until you restore it to its flour state. We would call what we call matzah meal, for example, where it's ground down very, very finely, and certainly the crumbs are much less in size than a kezias. So according to the Tanan Rabbi Shmuel, that says that the psisa that's accomplished is restoring it to its flour state in terms of size of pieces. Hachi nami delo mevora hamotzi. Are you going to say that according to the Tanur Shmuel, there would be no hamotzi recited? Bechitema hachi nami. And if you say that's right, that there's no hamotzi that's recited, but v'hatanya, we have a Tanaic source. And this source refers to psisin she'ein bohem kezayis, pieces that don't have a kezayis, and it says, likate mikulon kezayis v'ochlo, if someone gathered together a kezayis quantity of these menachas crumbs and ate them, im chometsu onish kores, if that which he ate was fermented, he'd be chayav the kores penalty. We're talking about, of course, on Pesach. Im matzahu adam yotze bohen yidei chovasu bePesach, and if these crumbs, this kezayis worth of crumbs, is non-fermented, it's matzah, then you are able to fulfill your matzah, your Pesach matzah requirement. And now we have to add the main thing, and that is that since it's considered lechem with regard to being yotze matzah, you can't be yotze matzah by eating something other than that which is classified as lechem. Well, if it's called, if as we just said, your yotze matzah, because it's called lechem, so the bracha would be hamotzi lechem min haaretz. So what do we see from this? We see that when even if you hold like the Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, that you restore it to a crummy stage or a state size, you still do make a bracha of hamotzi. That is a question or a challenge to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said that if something is less than a kezayis in size, there is no hamotzi. The Gemara responds, Hocha b'may askinon b'she'ir son. This source that said, Likate mikulin kezayis, you gather together crumbs of the mincha and squish them together. You compacted them. That's irson. You compacted them. And hence, you were eating not crumbs, but eating a clump of baked goods that was a kezayis in size. And hence, we understand why your yotzei matzah, why you'll make a hamotzi over that, all in conformity to Rav Yosef's teaching. Question: Ihachi hainu dekatoni alah? If you're telling me that this source, where it said likate mikulin kezayis, is talking about your son, so then the grammar concerning that which is said in a source concerning this, it says who she'achlon bechdei achilas pras, that one will be yotzei his chovas pesach provided he eats them within a time frame called kedei achilas pras. We don't have to get into any descriptions of how long that is. All is necessary to know that Bechlech is process a time frame. Now, the Ibashirson, if the source is talking about where he compacted the crumbs into a piece the size of at least a kezayis, then She'achloi miboyale, it should have said it in the singular, that he ate it, namely the singular, the compacted piece. And it doesn't say She'achlo. So we are dealing with crumbs, and we see a Birchas Hamotzi recited over crumbs. That would be a challenge to Rav Yosef. Ella, you can see the triangle has flipped over again, and I hope that you're using these triangles for navigation. However, a new answer. Ella hocha b'mayaskinon. Notice we have this double underline under the expression b'mayaskinon as explanations regarding this source where it said he gathered the crumbs together and made hamotzi. So Rav Yosef will answer, or an answer offered on his behalf is hocha b'mayaskinon b'bo mi lechem godol, that the crumbs come from a large piece of bread, and since they're coming along with the large piece of bread, even though they are the crumbs are small, fine crumbs, but they are together with a large loaf of bread, or they come from a large loaf of bread. And that's what gives significance to the crumbs. However, if you had crumbs in isolation that were not together with a large loaf of bread, then Rav Yosef's din would apply that there is no Birchas Hamotzi on those, that rather it's a Birchas Borei Minei Mazonos. My Havi Allah, well, the Gemara is asking, what's the story with regard to the Birchas Hamotzi? Rav Sheshes Omar, Afilu Pirurin She'ein Bohen Kezayis. would appear then that Rav Sheshis is arguing head on with Rav Yosef, and he says that even Pirurin less than a Kezias, there would be a Birchas Hamotzi. Omar Rava, Rava comes and comments on Rav Sheshis and says, "Behu deika tu risa denahamo alayu." That is true that there will be hamotzi on less than kezias size pieces of bread, provided that these small pieces have the appearance, the toar maris lechem, the appearance of bread. So that even though they've been broken down into small pieces, you still, by looking at them, can recognize them as bread. So according to this opinion, even though the individual pieces are less than a kezias, since they have this toar lechem, you would be making a hamotzi. This type of halacha would have practical ramifications with regard to what's often marketed as crotons, small pieces of toasted bread that are added to soups and the like. The individual pieces are less than a kezias in quantity, but by looking at them, you notice that they come from bread. The same might apply to pieces of matzah, assuming that you make a birchas hamotzi on hamatzah. Certainly during the week of Pesach, everyone makes hamotzi on a piece of matzah. If you have some type of dish that contains in it little pieces of matzah that are smaller than a kezias in size, but they're recognizable as coming from matzah, so this halacha of Rav Sheshis and Rava may apply as well, that there will still be a Birchas Hamotzi. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.